Mother, man.
Spreading faster than a case of the clap in a trailer court. Able to shatter eardrums within a 666-mile radius. A podcast more brutal than all the rest. It's Murder Metal! All right, got CK on the line trying to see if we can go through something that is near and dear to both of us. So, CK, good to talk to you in this bonus episode.
What's up, Pete?
Oh, just chilling here. 2019, shaping up to be a good year for metal. Of course, both of us being metalheads for a long time. You know, we've been around the block, and we definitely thought talking about our all-time favorite metal albums would be a cool subject for discussion with our listeners who are also fucking metalheads. So
definitely, and you know, this list is what we, in our opinion, is my list and yours, in our opinion, of what we think are the greatest,
right?
Metal
we're right,
that are,
but we're right though. I mean,
yeah, of course we are.
But you're right. You know, yeah, I mean, anybody could have come up with a completely different list, of course.
You know, people, and this is a list that, you know, kind of got us to where we are with what we prefer, more or less. I mean, influenced me and in my playing, in my drum playing, or just albums that I could listen to over and over again and never get sick of and always put them on no matter what kind of mood I'm in. So that's how I went about my list. Also, I didn't include more than one album from the same band. I wanted to keep it. If I chose that band, it was one album that influenced me, and that was near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, I like that. It was funny because when we talked about doing this, we really didn't set parameters. But when we got together before we started taping and talked about that, we were dead on. It's hilarious because, yeah, I said the same thing. It's one album per band. It was hard, though, to choose on some of them,
exactly,
as we know. But
I guess great minds think alike. So, you know.
I guess. Something like that. So yeah, I'm anxious to see what you've come up with because, like I said, we've talked about this a few times on some of our podcasts that I've heard about metal bands either for the first time through you or reignited hearing them through you and then went and listened to something and really on a kick. So that's really cool.
And that's the whole idea behind me doing my segment. So I'm glad it actually, you know, is doing what I wanted it to do. So, you know, I'm really happy with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it adds something to the podcast that is unique, and so it's fucking awesome. And I know neither of our lists are in any sort of order. We're just kind of going.
No, nope. Because trying to put that in, you know, numerical order from number one to whatever,
yeah,
it's impossible. And mine would be changing day to day or you know, hour to hour, depending on what mood I'm in. So
yeah, totally.
This is just a random list of things I put together of albums that I know that if I was on a desert island somewhere and I was away from civilization for a year, I could only bring these albums, I'd be totally happy.
Okay, that's fair enough, man. So what you got?
First and foremost, and I think we may agree on this band, I don't know about the album, but Fate's Warning, Awaken the Guardian.
Oh, dude, wow. Tough to choose just one, but
I
got to agree with you, man. I love Specter Within. That's what really got me into Fate's Warning. And then Awaken the Guardian was the perfect follow-up to that.
To me, Awaken was, even though they have great albums after that, and I'm not knocking any albums after Awaken, I just think, you know, the progression from Night on Brocken to Specter Within, then Awaken, it was like, holy shit. Right. And to me, this is the first, really the first album to tag the progressive metal line to it, I think.
I agree.
And I think this was the start of progressive metal as a subgenre. And I could listen to this album all the time, every day, and I would never get sick of it. Not one bad song. It's 50 minutes of just pure genius, in my opinion.
I agree, dude.
Next I have, and this was a tough one, Black Sabbath, Sabbath Bloody Sabbath.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, talk about a tough call with these guys.
And I love the first album. I love Paranoid, and I love Master Reality. I love Volume 4. I love, like, all of them, you know, even, of course, the Dio stuff, but I had to think of one where I could put on all the time and never get, and then Sabbath Bloody Sabbath is the one.
Yeah.
Because it's like so different from anything they ever did. It's got the heaviness. It's got a little progressive roots in it, I think. And it's got some killer fucking hooks.
Dude, it's amazing. There's so many songs on that album that people don't even know about.
Exactly.
That I know when I was first listening to Sabbath with friends, you know, we would listen to those songs like Sabra Kadabra and
exactly.
some of these songs that people didn't even know, you know, about. Just so amazing. And that album, yeah, the contrasts, you know, that heavy riff in this title track and then the fucking tambourine at the same yeah. time is got to be the most fucked up combination, but it's like pure fucking genius, man. It sounds great, you know?
And then you have that little instrumental fluff.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's like, really weird.
Yeah, so, you know, to me that's my quintessential Sabbath album.
That's awesome.
This is another tough one, Exodus, Bonded by Blood.
Oh, yes.
I love Exodus, and to me, Bonded by Blood is, in my opinion, the greatest thrash album ever made. If you think of thrash in the 80s, you know, you got, trust me, and Metallica Kill 'Em All is definitely one of them, but Bonded by Blood, to me, if you say thrash in the 80s, that's the album that just comes to mind. Yeah. The fucking... It's never relenting. Paul Baloff's voice is nothing you never heard of anymore. Yeah, he has this weird combination of singing and talking, the way his vocals are.
Yeah, I was never a huge Paul Baloff fan, so to speak. I do, of course, love Exodus. I lean toward the Sousa years, second. But just to me, I would probably not put that in my list only because I'm not a huge fan of his vocals, but I completely recognize the guy is like an icon in thrash and was huge in that scene, you know, but just personal preferences, not a big fan of his vocals.
He was a little different as far as his style and,
oh yeah.
And, you know, but the thing is nobody else sounded like him, which is what I liked.
Right.
My next album, another hard one, Judas Priest, Sad Wings of Destiny.
Oh, fuck, dude. Another band, almost impossible to choose one.
But this is the album that turned me on to Priest to begin with.
Right.
When I was young, I think it was might have been one of the first metal albums. Like, well, I think I bought the album like in 77, 78 or something. I can't even remember.
Right.
70. But I was like 8 or 9 when I bought it just because I liked the cover and I happened to see it. And, you know, the first song, Victim of Changes, and I was just hooked and I'm still hooked, you know, 40 something years later, I'm still hooked with this album. And it's been in my car, my CDs, and it hasn't left like in years. So
yeah, it's amazing, dude.
Another band that kind of straddles the fine line between metal and hard rock, Thin Lizzy, Fighting. Thin Lizzy to me is the quintessential band who came up, or Phil Lynott came up with the idea of the dual guitar playing or the dual guitar band.
Right.
And the way it's used these days with the harmonies.
Yeah, they were very innovative with that because, yeah, we've talked about this before, you know, comparing them to like the priest stuff, which a lot of people think of the same way. But I think you rightfully point out, you know, that priest was more of the dueling leads.
Yeah. You know, whereas, they would switch on and off as far as Lizzie would have the harp, more of the harmonies. Right. And I, you know, yeah. definitely influenced, you know, other bands, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Fate's Warning, they influenced friggin' Maiden, you know.
Oh, those sure. Are,
that's one of those influences.
Definitely.
But and I will be doing a segment on Thin Lizzy in the near future.
Oh, that'd be awesome, man. You know, we should get Bones on maybe to talk about.
No,
he's fucking huge in that shit. That would be fun.
He's a huge. I don't think there's any bigger Thin Lizzy fans than me.
That would be fun maybe to do a four-way call with you and Bones.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We'll have to get a hold of him about that because thinking Thin Lizzy would be his jam.
Because he used to be in a Thin Lizzy tribute band with his son. So.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, so he's definitely a big Thin Lizzy fan and probably bigger than me, but I consider myself a big one.
Nah, it'd be cool.
Another band that kind of straddles the hard rock metal line, UFO Lights Out. Band from England, never got the recognition in America. If anybody doesn't know, they're lead guitarists for like the 70s. The quality albums in the 70s was Michael Schenker from the Scorpions.
Right.
You know, he was like 17 or 18 when he joined UFO. And to me, this is like the quintessential album with him in it. And it just rips. You know, this song Lights Out.
I hear
just
the train.
By itself. Yeah, it's the 1 o'clock train or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, I'm trying not to interrupt you, but I hear it in the background, and you're getting ready to hear my ode to that.
I hear your whistle. Yeah.
3 minutes, dude. Yeah, 3 minutes and counting. It's going to be like ridiculously loud. It'll be funny.
Another one, Maiden. Number of the Beast, another band that was hard to
impossible to hone down to one. I mean, that's tough, but fuck, that's a great one, dude.
But I had to put, you know, doesn't necessarily it's my favorite Maiden album, but I put it because I could. To me, that was the album that Bruce's first album.
Yeah,
and that was written for him to sing.
Right,
in my opinion, there was no way. You could hear Paul Di'Anno singing on this album.
No, not at all. It's such a turn of just a complete 180 for Maiden, I think. Just the songwriting maturity.
Exactly.
Bruce is the way he does vocals, totally different than Di'Anno. And yeah, I mean, talk about just a fucking boot stomp to the head with that release. I mean, that's amazing.
And to me, that just set off what was to come. 30 years later, 34. However,
what a run. What a run.
36 years. It's going to be 37 years later right now.
Fucking, you know, ridiculous.
And to me, that was the album that just set it off and started the what they are today.
Yeah, I agree, man. They're amazing. And that album is for sure what started that whole era.
You know, And again, another harder one. I didn't know if maybe it was Power Slave or Peace of Mind or Seventh Son, but I had to look, and that's why I chose it.
Yeah, I chose Maiden too, but a different album, and it'll be fun to talk about that when we get to my list.
I think I have an idea what yours is, but I'm not going to say it right now.
Okay.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
All right.
Metallica, Master of Puppets.
Dude, yes. That's the one, man. That's Ride the Lightning is amazing. Kill 'Em All kicked fucking ass, but
yeah,
Master of Puppets, wow.
You know, and it's another album which shows the maturity of the band. You know, going from Kill 'Em All to Ride to Master.
Oh, here we go.
I hear it.
The Noon Bell in Hayworth. Yeah.
Oh Christ! It's like the one in Bethel that.
Yeah, it was like 4 o'clock or whatever.
The 6 o'clock.
That's what
6 o'clock whistle. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same thing. Noon every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I always said if you were ever abducted in Hayworth, you'd be able to keep track of the days really easy.
Just wait for the whistle.
Right.
Oh God, that's awesome.
Right.
But Master, I think, unfortunately, it was close to last album.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, there were some contributions on Justice for All from Cliff before he died, but right. I just think this album is just the quintessential Metallica album. It's fucking heavy.
Yeah.
You know, the recording technique they use, you know, overdubbing the guitars 10, 11, I don't even know how many times, but I heard it was like 10 times with the rhythms to get that sound.
Right.
And not one bad song on it. You know, it starts.
No.
Starts killer and finishes killer.
Damage Incorporated, dude. What a way to end an album.
I know what. Fuck. The nastiest song on the album. That's what you want.
Fucking
end.
Wicked, man.
You know, then you start it with Battery. So how you know, you can't get any better than that.
Right, right.
And I think this one we'll agree on. Merciful Fate, Melissa.
Oh, yes. Got to have Merciful Fate. Both of us huge fans. But that album in particular to me, and you as well, obviously, huge, huge influence.
You know, and another tough one, you know, because Don't Break the Oath, a great album in its own right.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think Melissa had something a little bit darker,
yeah,
a little bit rawer than Don't Break the Oath. You know?
I agree. I like it. It's very, you said, very dark, the subject matter. Really, to me at least, the first time I had ever read lyrics from a band about that type of subject matter that wasn't like a joke, that wasn't meant to be
right.
Like over the top for sensational reasons. It was like legit, like written from a person that's like actually into that shit. And I'm right. Not into that shit, but it always interested me. It's kind of like when we've talked before on the podcast about possession and about things like that. I might not believe in it or maybe very skeptical of it since I've never seen it.
But it's intriguing.
It is very intriguing.
It's intriguing.
And when I heard that album for the first time and read those lyrics, I'm like, what the fuck?
You know, I was like, holy
pretty
shit.
Sick, you know, Into the Coven and fucking At the Sound of the Demon Bell, Satan's Fall. Yeah, those are evil. No, I mean,
you start the album with evil, you know, with that scream. And
oh, my God, dude.
You know, and again, the Sherman and Denner.
Yep.
If what a pair. Thin Lizzy.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, another ode to Lizzy.
Big time, dude.
Even though this next band has something to do with Merciful Fate, I consider them a separate band. And that's why I picked this, King Diamond Abigail.
Oh, yeah. I would look at them separate and did myself on my list.
You know, totally to me, a totally different direction than Merciful Fate, the second album from King Diamond, his first full concept album with a storyline.
Amazing.
And I could listen to it anytime and never get sick of it. Mickey D.
The
drumming on that album is fucking phenomenal, and I was always influenced by that.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great guy. He's a great musician. His sound is great. I mean, everything about his playing, I love it.
And not to get off the subject, but the guy is just an adaptable drummer. I mean, he went on to play with fucking Motorhead for 20 years.
Right.
You know, and you can't get it. any non fucking progressive than Motorhead.
Right, right.
You know, and he killed it. Now he's in the Scorpions, and I've heard live stuff with Implement with Scorpions. He's killing it there.
Of course, yeah, he's that good. Like you said, incredibly versatile.
You know, so and to me, that's one of the things that makes the album to me is his playing, the songwriting, the storyline,
right?
And the album has hooks. You know, and I've said it before. I said it again. If you don't have a hook, whether it's death metal, progressive metal, fucking any genre of metal, then you can't remember the song, then you don't remember the band.
I agree. I always was that way in Low 12. To me, the biggest compliment I would get would be to perform a song for the first time live and have people like trying to sing along with me, even though they don't know what I'm saying.
Right.
But they get it. They get the rhythm of it.
A hook and the hook.
They get that. Yes. I mean, it, to me, that was like spot on. I'm thinking to myself, that's it, because they remember that shit, you know, because it grabbed them, it hooked them, you know.
But you know, next one, some people consider the ultimate speed metal slash thrash album, Slayer, Rain and Blood.
Oh, for fuck's sake. How could, you know, dude, I tried, believe me, I tried to take the reins away from Rain and Blood in that contest. I can't.
You can't.
I just simply cannot. It's a short album.
It's only 28 minutes.
Yeah.
28 minutes.
It's not much, but for fuck's sake, that's like, I look at that as the equivalent of you and your buddy are like smoking meth. You stop at a fucking convenience store. He runs in. He runs out, says, I just robbed the place. Go. And you just punch it and don't stop for 28 minutes until you hit a brick wall and you die.
It's like a fucking freight train rolling.
That's what it is. It's fucking insane, dude.
It's a freight train going down the tracks fucking crazy with no driver.
Dude, that album changed me big time. That really was what pushed me over the edge into the more extreme forms of metal. It really took me further away from the Maiden, the Priest, the Ozzy stuff.
Yeah, I have to agree with that.
I mean, I love that stuff, always will, but ever since Rain and Blood, to me, that's when I went down into the heavier, like, as my go-to. As my go-to.
Extreme. Right. Yeah. Looking for the extreme metal.
Right, right.
And that was the first album for a major label with Rick Rubin producing, and
fantastic.
What a fucking album to have as your debut for a major label.
Really?
You know, and it doesn't stop. And today I could still listen to it and still kicks ass. Another German band that I guess it's more in a power main, Halloween Keeper of the Seven Keys Part 2.
Oh, nice. It's a great album.
I love that album, especially the Keeper of Seven, the last song. It's just a great album. Every song catches you. You're in your car singing along to the fucking album because it's so good.
Dude, it's been so long since I've listened to that. I really need to listen to it again because I used to love that album, but I got away from it, and I haven't. It's been a very long time. I might have to check that out on my drive into town today. So
yeah, I mean, you put it on, and it's like, God damn, this is such a good album.
It is,
you know, and not to be confused with Part One, but I think Part Two is a better album. And to this day, 33 years, 4 years, I don't know how many fucking years. I know I still put it on, and I still get the same feeling I had when I put it on for the first time.
Nice. Yeah, me too, dude. It's amazing. I'm anxious to revisit it because I loved it too.
Yeah, you should definitely revisit again because it's a great album. Another band discussed on the podcast, Voivod, Nothing Face. Their first album for a major when they were signed to Mechanic Records. To me, it was them going a little bit more progressive. And the album actually got airplay on MTV, and it's a great album. I love it. I could listen to it all day, every day, and never get sick of it. Catchy tunes, again, good hooks, great songwriting, great playing. To this day, nobody really sounds like them, but
no, they're very unique.
Just a great band and great album, I love. Band out of Long Island, been around forever, and today they still put out albums. At one time, they had my favorite drummer of all time, who is still my favorite drummer of all time, Mike Portnoy, Dream Theater, Images and Words.
Yeah, that's. That was tremendous. There's parts of Dream Theater stuff I'm not a huge fan of with the ballady kind of thing. But, man, when they have, you know, songs like Pull Me Under, for fuck's sake, man, that's – I wish they did more stuff like that because I like that side of them much, much better than a lot of the other things. But they're very talented. And like you said, Portnoy is a fucking beast.
You know, he unfortunately he's not in the band anymore, but
right.
He is. He's a fucking beast, and he's got seven or eight other bands he's playing with at the moment.
Right.
You know, and he always keeps busy, and nothing against Mike Mangini. He's a great drummer. I love him. I still love Dream Theater, but when he left, to me, the heart of the band left with it. And that album was their second album after a 3-year hiatus when they were trying to find a new lead singer and trying to put the band back together. And first for Atco Records, which is a subsidiary of Atlantic. So it was their first major label. And it just kicked ass, and it still kicks ass today, and I love it.
Right.
A band I know we love, and I think we might agree on this album, Death. Sound of Perseverance.
Oh, dude, what an amazing, amazing album. That is well produced. Finally, Chuck got the due, you know, for his vocals, because I always thought his vocals were unique and cool, but I always thought it was one of the weaker spots of the band. I always wondered what they would sound like with a more, you know, death, quote unquote, death metal style singer. But then when you hear that, it's like, that's what it should have sounded like. And of course, it wasn't even meant to be, as we both know, a death album, which makes it even more ironic.
Well, he had his band Control Denied, and the, for him to get Control Denied signed to, I think it was Nuclear Blast. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I can't remember what label it was. It might have been Nuclear Blast. But the whole idea of it was, we will sign Control Denied, but we want a death album from you.
Right.
And he could have easily phoned this album in just to give him, say, okay, here's your album.
Right.
Now let me go and make my Control Denied album.
Right. But then he does that.
And he does that, which is the best death album. And nothing against the other, because I love all other six albums by him.
Right.
But this album, it was just holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, Chuck passed away. He did record the Control Denied album. He was on his second. He died. And, you know, what a fucking legacy to leave, you know, this album and the Control Denied album. So
big time,
you know, and can't say enough. And just to do a cover of Priest, Painkiller.
Oh, it was amazing, too.
And he did an amazing job on it.
Yeah,
you know, and the guy, if he wanted to, he could sing clean if he wanted to.
Oh, totally.
He had a good voice.
He did have a good voice. Yeah. And
you know,
anyone listening that hasn't seen that Death by Metal documentary, if you haven't seen that, you need to just literally take your dick and just slam it in a fucking steel drawer like 3 or 4 times.
I know.
And if you don't have a dick, find a body part and do it, because it's a fantastic documentary about Chuck, about the band Death and his influence on what later became known as death metal. I mean, seriously. So pretty amazing.
It's a great documentary. We've talked about it.
Oh yeah.
On more than one occasion on the podcast. And
yeah,
you know, and there's a reason for it, because it's that good.
Right.
Another band, out of Texas. Now this band, talk about progressive. Holy shit. This album to this day, I still love. Watchtower, Control and Resistance.
Wow, yeah, it's been long time since I've listened to Watchtower. Wow.
You talk about a band that's, wow. If you never heard of Watchtower, Google them. look for them on YouTube. Look for this album.
Ridiculously talented, man.
Because Ronnie Jarzenbeck, Alan Tecchio is a singer on this album, who was in Hades, a band from New Jersey. He's still around. Watchtower actually just put out an album a couple years ago with their first lead singer. These guys are sick, and they are. I can't even describe them, because they're just.
Oh, yeah,
holy shit!
Really, like a blur. Yeah,
you know, it's crazy shit. It's fucking time signatures I never even heard of, and all in that. They have great songs, with catchy riffs that you still remember.
Right.
You know, so all I could say is if you never heard of them, go check them out. Fucking great band, great album. A band that we've talked about, from a singer we talked about, we had a little, a three segment thing on him. Well, on one of his bands, Rainbow, with Ronnie James Dio,
mm-hmm.
Rising.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah.
Now I was having a tough time between that and the other albums by him on Rainbow.
Right.
And even Heaven and Hell, because I didn't know. I love Heaven and Hell and I love Mob Rules. And again, I was having a tough time with the Black Sabbath.
Right.
But since I chose what I did for Sabbath, I had to go with Rainbow Rising.
That's cool, dude. That's a fucking worthy, man.
You know, six songs. I think it's got, it's six songs. The second half of the album has two epic songs, Stargazer.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's worth the price of admission.
Exactly,
just that song.
Exactly.
It's fucking ridiculous, man.
And his vocals on that song, holy shit. Just, you know, Richie Blackmore is playing and it all comes
phenomenal.
Together and it's a great album and I still listen to it to this day. I got, I think, three different versions of it, I think. Just alone on that album with different mixes.
Right.
You know, so if you never heard of Rainbow Rising, go pick it up.
Oh, yeah.
Put on Stargazer and start from there.
Yeah, big time.
Another band out of Texas, Galactic Cowboys.
Yeah, you dig on those. I remember we did an early segment on them.
One of my first couple of segments was on them, yeah.
Yeah.
And I had trouble trying to narrow it down, and I went with Machine Fish, which is their first for Metal Blade, after they got back together after breaking up. I thought it was a great comeback album. 70 minutes of just metal all over the place. You can't chain these guys to one specific genre of metal because they're just all over. And I still listen to this album to this day. It's in my car at the moment. And most of these albums I listen are in my car for the most part.
Oh, sure.
I don't take them out.
I was going to say, I'm sure you own, obviously, everything we're talking about. So do I, everything I'm going to talk about, you know.
You know, so band I've talked about before, I'm not going to go into Greek in any more detail with them. Another band we talked about, and was it the first death metal album? Was it a thrash album? Who knows? But who cares? It's Possessed.
Possessed, yes. Love it, dude.
The Seven Churches.
That's a good one.
We've talked about it, them and Jeff Becerra. Groundbreaking album. Was it thrash? I think it was thrash. Some people think it was black or death metal. I don't think it was death metal.
Right.
But to each his own. Either way, yeah. It's a great album. I love it. Now, this last album. And there's a reason why I chose this album, and there's a reason why I chose it. And this album was, while I was going through all this cancer shit,
right?
This album, and you're gonna know why in a second because I'll have to go in a little bit detail. But you're
not,
gonna know.
It's not Metal Detector, is it?
No.
All right, because I thought that's what you were building up to, dude.
No. And you had a hand in this. Low 12-6.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Because you started that album, what, 2013, 14 originally?
Yeah, probably in there somewhere.
It was when I was pretty due to my diagnosis in cancer. You were sending me everything. Actually, you were bouncing ideas off me before you even went to the band.
Right.
You know, and you were sending me demos, rough, mixes, asking for my opinion.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't know how much I took my mind off everything I was going through.
That's awesome, dude.
And you know, and to that album will forever be in my heart because of that. Plus, it's a great fucking album. It is, you know, it's the last album by Low 12, but, you know, what a hell of a way to fucking end it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, you know, it was, so I don't.
It was,
I don't want
proud...
to put you on the spot or anything, no. But, you know.
No, you definitely took me by surprise there. But, yeah, I mean, I loved writing that whole album. And you're right, dude. You were a big part of it, you know, being at Soundboard. And, as you know, was writing the novel at the same time,
yep.
Six.
And
so,
I was going through that, yep.
Yeah, and we went with that together. And so, yeah, and... speaking of Six, kind of an unplanned, so to speak, announcement of it, but I'm about 90% committed to doing another brush up review of it and then giving it to a different editor to edit. So I'm actually thinking of releasing Six maybe around Halloween, if that's at all possible. So
that'd be cool. And you know, that book's awesome. And I told you, if you were able to get that book out, you'd find an audience with it. And, you know, and you found an audience with your latest book, and, you know, and I think that book has the same potential.
Yeah. Thanks, man. You know? I'm excited about it. 'Cause I know we both put in a lot of work, and it sucks that it's just sitting on a shelf. So speaking of the album, you brought it up. So the novel would go in hand with that. So if you like that,
yeah.
Low 12 album, you definitely would like,
yeah,
reading a book.
Definitely. You know, and again, that Low 12 album, I remember you sending me demos. I remember you sending me the first couple of mixes, and I would give you my opinion on
it. Yeah.
And you actually went back and took what I said. And you know, that meant a lot to me, you know, because that you took my opinion, that, you know, and actually went and went back and tweaked it.
Of course.
You know, so, you know, and for me at the time, with all the shit, I'm still going through it, but not as much as I was back then.
Right.
You know, took my mind off it, and you know, like I said, this album will forever be in my heart, and I love it.
Awesome, you know? Dude. So, that's really awesome. A cool way to end yours, and now we're going to talk about mine, which is a shorter list than you had, and we do have some duplicates, so we'll kind of get through some of them rather quickly. Mine also in no specific order. I think I came up with about a dozen or so. Iron Maiden, again, just like you, wrestled around with it. I came up with Peace of Mind, and I know you said you had in your mind what you thought I was going to say. Was that the one?
Yep, that was the one.
Yeah, that was the first concert, the first metal concert
That's what I thought. That's what I thought, yeah. You'd pick.
Dude, when they hit the lights and they opened up with Where Eagles Dare, I was completely lost. I mean, it was just unfucking believable to have seen it. When I talked to younger metalheads, you know, like I remember seeing them at Low 12 shows with a Maiden shirt on. I'm like, oh, dude, nice, you know. And it's a younger guy, you know, who's all into it, which is awesome, you know. And then, you know, we would talk, and then
exactly.
I would say, dude, the first show I ever went to was Peace of Mind, you know, live, you know, in like 83 or whatever that was. And they're just like, or 86, I don't remember. You probably know the year.
83, 84.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Just completely floored, you know, just like, wow, you know, like I can't believe you saw that, you know. And it is amazing when you think of it. So that was the Maiden one that I came up with. For Ozzy, I did have Ozzy, you know, separate from Sabbath, for my list here, Diary of a Madman, probably to me the best they ever did. Love the writing.
I agree with that.
Love the performances. The songs
The production on the album, that is phenomenal.
Yeah. Bob Daisley shines, as he always does, but that album just, you know, incredible from an arrangement standpoint, the lyrics he came up with, Everything about it, other than the business side of it, is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
That
yeah.
shit just, yeah. I don't even want to talk about it because it's a downer, you know. But that yeah, one,
I love that album as well, you know. Yeah. And that could have made that probably should have made my list, but I there are so many albums.
Oh,
out that,
dude, there's some you mentioned. You know, I'm like, how did I not put that on mine? So,
yeah,
it's gonna happen. That's
another, I love that album.
Yeah, Judas Priest. Now, I'll preface this by saying I don't think this was their best, and I don't think it was even my personal favorite, but there's a few songs on here that are iconic and definitely got me into metal with Screaming for Vengeance, dude. There's some crappy songs on there, I'll give it that, but there's like three or four, like Can't Live Without, Electric Eye, fucking Riding on the Wind, fucking Screaming for Vengeance, Got Another Thing Coming. I mean, just those songs, if they were just by themselves, would be on my list. But that album for me hit me at the right spot. I was just getting into metal. Remember seeing the video for You Got Another Thing Coming and was totally hooked. So amazing. Of course, now it's cheesy as fuck.
But you know what? That's the way it was when we were growing up. And you know what? That's a great. I love that album too. And
yeah, it's amazing.
That's another Priest album. It was a transition album for him as well. But
yeah.
You know, going from like the 70s to the 80s. You know, I think they put out British Steel before that.
Right.
No, British Steel was the one that started for them to gain more momentum, and fucking Scream for Vengeance just threw them over the top.
Big time.
To where they are now.
Right. Also on my list, and are both our list, Metallica, Master of Puppets. That's kind of hard to argue as being a huge influence on the both of us. Same with Fate's Warning, Awaken the Guardian. Can't argue a fucking anything with what you said. Is hugely influential on me as a songwriter at that time, as a bass player, as just a metalhead. I love it. Of course, we're both Connecticut guys, so the Connecticut band's got to be on my yep. list. I loved them always and still do. It's great that they're still putting out incredible music. But, of course, John Arch will always be near and dear to me as a singer. I love Ray. Yeah.
Great fucking guy.
Right.
Great fucking guy.
He is. And Ray is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But we both know it's just different with those two. And this, to me, is huge.
Definitely, now, and 2019, the new Arch Matthew is coming out. So
I did see that.
They're working on that, so you know we got that coming. So
fuck, can't wait. My Black Sabbath album. I really toiled with this because I almost went with Sabbath Bloody Sabbath. I almost went with Sabotage because I love both of those almost the same. And I love Paranoid. I mean, you were rattling them all off. I love the first one. I love everything, basically, other than the last Ozzy one. I'm not a fan of Never Say Die. However, to me, if I was to just name one of their entire, you know, body of work, it's Heaven and Hell, dude. No diss to Ozzy. It's funny because I didn't even do this consciously, but obviously there, because you said the same thing. You went with Ozzy Sabbath and then picked a Dio Rainbow song. I went with
Dio.
Yeah,
Sabbath and picked the Ozzy. So
yeah, it is kind of funny how that worked out. Yeah. But Heaven and Hell to me is absolutely phenomenal. The writing is fantastic. Dio, everybody, the whole band, it's flawless to me. I love it. I love everything about it. I love the way it ends. I love everything about that album. It's just fantastic.
You know, and that's the first album with Dio, and I think Dio reignited Iommi and the rest of the band, and the songwriting on it is amazing. It's a different sound than they had with Ozzy. A little bit more upbeat, faster tempo for the most part on some songs. It's a great album, and like I said, if I had to pick, I didn't know if I would pick between that, the Ozzy one, or you know, even
Mob Rules. Yeah, but, Mob Rules was right on my list too. Now, I did the same with you with King Diamond. I came up with Abigail. Again, hard to argue that. And Merciful Fate Melissa. So we were in lockstep there. And with Slayer, I picked Rain and Blood. I almost picked South of Heaven because that's probably my personal favorite. But I got to say Rain and Blood just for sheer iconic, you know, like you said, first release with that label with Rick Rubin, the time period, when we were into metal in our youth, that was just monster, was Rain and Blood. So I had to pick that.
That was the one you used to piss off people who didn't like metal, too.
Oh, big time. Big time. You know. Oh, yeah. It's fantastic. Now, I did go with another Dio. Now, I went with Dio again. Again, not consciously, just these were my list of just albums that were huge influences on me. And I went with Holy Diver, dude. The first solo. Tremendous. Huge influence.
That's a great album. And that's another album that, you know, could have easily made my list. I love that album from you know, Stand Up and Shout.
Right.
You got Rainbow in the Dark, Invisible. It's just a great album. And the playing on that with Vivian Campbell, you know, is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And vocals Dio's, you know, it doesn't get much better.
No. I mean, it's fantastic. And then the last one on my list was Megadeth, Peace Sells, But Who's Buying? I love that album. I remember when it came out, it was huge. Their first one was kind of weak, big time on production, and just sounded not real good. And Mustaine was a fucking train wreck, and they were just a mess. But man, they somehow fucking woke the fuck up, got their shit together. Wow.
I mean, I love that album too, and it's another one I could have made my list. But you know, like I said, there's so much shit that I listen to, and for me, it was probably harder than most people because my what I have for music is and what I listen to is so fucking out there.
Right.
For me to get into this 17, 18, I don't know however many albums. But that, you know, that could have easily been one of my tops.
Oh, big time. And then I got one more kind of not really honorable mention, only because neither of us came up with any live albums. But I have one that I think is most worthy of being in my list, and a band that's not in my list already, which needs to be Creator. Live Creation, to me, is one of the best.
Oh, yeah. That's live, a great fucking live album.
Albums. I got into Creator by listening to that. And what was cool about it is, you know, you're listening to all these different songs and you're like, oh, I like that song. I like that song. And then you go find out what albums they're on. And then you start buying the albums. And before you know it, you've got all of them except for Endorama, you know. And then
yeah, Joe likes that one is Joey.
I know. Joey's hearing this going, you motherfuckers, really? Got to bring up Endorama. So, no, Live Creation is such a tremendous album. Reconquering the Throne, I remember playing that all the time on the chopping block when I had that radio show and just loved it because it was so brutal, and that it was live just blew me away at how good it sounded. Just a fantastic live band.
I agree with that. That's one of the best sounding live albums, you know, along with New Fate's Warning.
Yeah, New Fate's is amazing. The early live, what was the Maiden one?
Live After Death.
Yeah, Live After Death, and then the Tokyo or the Judas Priest.
Unleashed in the East. Yeah, it's a great fucking album.
That's fantastic too. Those are great live albums. So don't totally dismiss live albums, guys, when you're listening, because there's some really good ones. There's some bad ones, but the ones that are really good will actually, if you're listening to it and you're a newer fan of the band, you can hear a bunch of their songs at once and then pick out those albums maybe that appeal to you. So,
there's been live albums that, you know, I remember when I was like 5 or 6, my brother bought me fucking Deep Purple Made in Japan. When I was starting to learn drums, that's how I learned to play drums. To that live album.
Nice.
You know, and that album today is still, I love that album, you know, and And my whole thing is I didn't put any live albums on. I went with all studio albums, and I could easily do a list of live albums at some point.
That might be fun one to do one of these days. Yeah, is our top 10 live albums of all time.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones. I mentioned a few of my favorites already, but there's more. There's many more.
Oh, there's more. And then there's some that people say, are the greatest band's albums are live albums.
Sure.
But that's another list we could do, and that's another fun thing we could do.
Yeah, big time.
That's what I love about this podcast.
That's right. That's right. Well, we're closing in on 50 minutes, CK, so we did pretty good. We thought it would be somewhere around an hour, so we weren't too far. Right? We thought that would be good for this bonus episode, and hopefully we turned some young metalheads on or some metalheds that maybe aren't aware of some of these albums, but for whatever reason they listen to more this than that, and hearing some talk about Fate's Warning and some bands, Galactic Cowboys, bands that maybe are outside their
Watchtower
box. Yeah, Watchtower. And then would get turned on to who knows how many bands from there. It's like, that's the cool thing about metal, is you share what you know with others and hopefully
turn some people on,
because you and I, we grew up in a very unique time. A lot of this stuff wasn't available. Of course, there was no internet. There was no MTV for us. There was nothing. I mean, it was literally talking about it, talking to people that you knew that liked it, buying the old magazines, which by the time we read them, they were months old, But that was all we had,
Or just going by looking at the album cover.
Yeah, yeah.
Which we had that discussion.
We did. Our the worst albums or whatever. Yeah. By the, looked cool, the coolest, but
the coolest,
yeah, album coolest covers with shitty albums. Yeah, that would be funny. Could do shitty covers with great albums, which would be good.
Yeah, we could do that one too. That'd be cool.
Like that Riot one, the Riot.
Yep, or another good one is Savage Grace. I don't know if you ever saw it. I forget which album it is, but it's got the cop on the front, and you look at it, it's like looks like a cheesy album, but it's a great fucking album, great fucking band.
So yeah, there's endless possibilities here that we could do. So awesome. Well, we'll give these guys something to chew on with that. And always, brother, good to talk to you.
Always good to talk to you. Always have fun. And everybody listen to the podcast.
Mother, man.